Now, friends, we come to this 32nd chapter of Isaiah. And here you have in chapter 32 and 33 and 34 and 35 a wonderful progression in prophecy. And that's the reason that I keep saying that to reach into the Bible and draw a verse out here and a verse there, you could come up with any kind of an interpretation that you want. But you can't do that if you take it up systematically. And that's the way it should be considered. You see, God didn't give chapter and verse. Somebody said to me sometime, give us chapter and verse. Well, I said, God didn't give you chapter and verse. I'm not either. Take the whole section. And may I say that this is one place that we need to take the whole thing. We need to eat the whole book, by the way. And it won't give you indigestion, and you won't need to take somebody's pill, but you'll need to find out that the Word of God is teaching something that makes sense. Now we have in this chapter the coming king, the coming tribulation, and the coming spirit. In the first 8 verses, we have the person of the king who is to reign introduced. And this chapter actually is a bright note between the 5th and 6th woes. And we have a series of woes that we're in right now. It's a ray of light of God's people in a dark place in that day. And we find the Lord Jesus is introduced again to us at this point. For there can be no millennium, no blessing to this earth without him. Now, we have here, verse 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Now, the king here, of course, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and the character of his reign is righteousness. Now, the world has never had a kingdom like that so far. Verse 2, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Now, he's not only king, you see. He's a savior king. He bore the winds and the tempest of the judgment of sin for us. And he is a rock for our protection today. And he was set before us, you remember, back in Isaiah 26:4, as the rock of ages. And this is another aspect of his ministry under the figure of the rock. He is a place of hiding today. Now, we are told here, verse 3, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. In other words, there shall be spiritual understanding given to God's people. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. True spiritual values will then be ascertained, and they'll be made obvious. And that which should have top priority will have top priority. Now today, moral values are gone. That's our problem. Actually, today in this country, we have no sense of moral values. For you must remember now, for years, there's been taught in our school the evolutionary theory, which makes man an animal. And no moral values are taught. Now, if you talk today, as I do, about law and order and about high state of morality, you're a square. You're a back number. And somehow or another, you're not as smart as these sophisticated, these clever crooks are today. And therefore, we should not listen to that which is old-time stuff. Well, may I say to you that the old-time stuff is going to be the future stuff. And that will be a king reigning in righteousness. And then moral values will come back into place. Now, the vile person shall be no more called liberal. That's verse 5. And I love this. This is about as up-to-date as you can get. You see, we have today what is known as limousine liberals. The rich today, for the most part, are liberal. Why? They've already got theirs, and it's not being taxed. So the middleman's being taxed to death today to pay for new projects. And you can be sure of one thing. He can afford to be liberal. After all, that rich man with Lazarus just sitting on the floor at his table eating crumbs, that rich man was a liberal. He was willing to give crumbs. But that was all. And may I say to you that today a vile person is called liberal. In that day, why, the vile person will not be called any more liberal, because he'll be seen in the true light. He's a villain, and his heart will work iniquity. The heart of man is desperately wicked. You see, everything in that day is going to be seen in its true colors. No more putting on a front. The mask of hypocrisy will be taken off on not only those who profess to be Christians, but the biggest hypocrites are actually not in the church. They're out of the church today. They are those who pretend to be something that they're not. Now, that is the thing that needs to be. This is a king that's going to reign in righteousness. Now we come to the second. But before he comes, there's going to be a preceding time of trouble. Listen to this. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear to my speech. Now, why does he say that? Because of this, women are more sensitive than men. And actually, they sense a danger before a man does. Every man, every husband, before he goes into a business deal, especially a partnership, ought to let his wife meet the man that's a partner. And if you want a true evaluation of human nature, let your wife be the one that will meet the individual and talk with them. Now, may I say this? I try in my home to maintain the place as the head of the house. But friends, I have discovered over a period of years that I'm no judge of human character. And there have been time after time that my wife has said to me, "You misjudge that man or that woman, because actually they're a very wonderful person." Or, again, you've misjudged that person. You have confidence in them, and you ought not to have confidence in them because there's something wrong there. And do you know, 9 times out of 10, my wife is right. So I've learned that the best thing to do is to listen to her, that is, every now and then, especially in cases like this. Now, God says that even womanhood in that day will become so insensible, they won't even recognize the danger that's coming. That's quite interesting, because there'll be women living in pleasure in that day, and they will not have any sense of the coming judgment. And they are dead even while they live in pleasure. That's the picture that is here. That's tremendous, is it not? Now we come to the third division here, the promise of the Spirit to be poured out in the last days. Will you hear me carefully now? Verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Now here is a case where you need to pay attention to the development of prophecy in the Word of God. Now when will the Spirit be poured out? In the millennium, when Christ reigns. That's going to be the greatest time a spiritual blessing and turning to Christ. Because you see, he'll be reigning in person. But that doesn't mean every knee is going to bow to him at that time. Every knee will bow to him eventually. But this is a time of testing. And it shall come to pass, Joel mentions it, come to pass afterward, that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Now, friends, that's not a picture today to go with this prophecy. In both Joel and in Acts, when Peter quoted it, And he made it very clear. He didn't say it's a fulfillment of prophecy. He says this is that. This is similar to that. In other words, those people in that day were ridiculing these people and saying they were drunk in the morning. That could happen in Los Angeles, but not in that day. They didn't get drunk in the morning. And he's saying that this is going to be like that, which is coming. Now, when will this come? It'll come in the millennium, friends. It'll come in the kingdom when he pours out his spirit upon all flesh. And on the day of Pentecost, it was only poured out on just a few. But it was similar to that that is to come. And then there was not the thing Joel said would take place in the heavens and on the earth. And then, by the way, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, I don't find that today. They're all growing long hair. And it says your old man shall dream dreams. Why, today they've all gone to a retirement place and they're playing golf. I don't find this true today. This was not seen on the day of Pentecost either, and it's not being seen today. This looks forward to the coming kingdom. You see, this is always the danger of pulling out a few verses of Scripture and trying to build a system of prophecy. You just let the Word of God speak to us as God wants to, line upon line, precept upon precept, but folk don't like it that way. But that's the way God gives it to us. This is important, and I would call attention to that.